Welcome to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. I am Doc Mike, host of the podcast. A series of Forrest Gump-like events have brought me to where I am, a small-town country dentist. My experiences in country living, country freedom, country dentistry, and my reaction to pertinent current events will help you live a life of more freedom and less worry. Thank you for choosing the Redneck Dentist Podcast. So let's get to today's freedom-inspiring episode. Hey, this is Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. Thanks for joining me live on Real Liberty Media, the fastest hour on Real Liberty Media. That's a little bit of a joke. Okay, it's Saturday, and we're going to do some stuff, going to have some fun. If you want to join the conversation, come into the chat room. Come to reallibertymedia.com, join the chat room, say hello, talk to folks. It's always a good time, at least for me. It is. Learn a lot of stuff there. Oh my God, I've got some stuff to tell you guys today that I'm not kidding, man. It's funny to be 64 years old and to see something that you've never seen before. I'm going to share it with you today, and I will post a picture and a video on my BitChute site, and you got to have a look at this thing, man. And it's the craziest thing that I even saw this little critter. Though I'll get to it in a few minutes. I got to figure out what I'm actually going to do today. Just got home from work on a Saturday. Was it worth it? Of course, it was worth it. It's going to be interesting. I was surprised so many people showed up, honestly, because, you know, Saturdays, people blow off dental appointments anyway. And then you think on Saturday, you'd be like, oh, I didn't know I made my appointment on Saturday. Screw that. But anyway, you know, this opportunity only opened up like a month ago. And so everybody, I think it's fresh in everybody's mind. And everybody knows that we're booking out like 6 months. So I think that's what it was. Everybody just showed up. Let's see, updates around the homestead here. Well, yeah, that was it, the first Saturday doing dentistry. Now, I'm not doing it like every Saturday, and it's only for a limited time. I think I'm only doing actually 4 Saturdays, so this is the first one, and I'm not doing it next weekend, so it's probably 2 or 3 weeks before the next one. I don't know, really. I just play it by ear, but it actually went really well. Kind of cramped my, you know, prep style for getting the show going, but that's okay. You know, we're going to deal with it. And if it's a short show, nobody's going to care. Honestly. Okay, maybe 1 or 2 people might care, but, you know, we're going to do what we can. Oh, so I have meatloaf going on the grill, which is cool because when I'm done here, I'll get to eat, which that'll be fantastic. Not like I didn't eat today at work, but, you know, home cooked meal on a grill. Loving that. We haven't got Ruby, the brand new golden retriever pup yet, but sometime this weekend there's going to be an opportunity. So the mom of the family who bred the golden retrievers, well, they have like 4 kids and they're all at that kind of age, high school, junior high school age. They're all in sports. And they got stuff going all the time. So we just have to look for an opportunity. And she's going to text us or something and say, okay, now you can come get her and we'll go get her. But anyway, she went to the vet, got her final kind of checkup and shots and stuff. So she's ready to go. We're looking forward to that. That'll be very cool. I don't know how many of you went and saw the video of Pebbles welcoming me home. But Pebbles has decided to sneak outside once in a while. Actually, like, I'm not crazy about her going outside at all. But I also, if she gets outside, I'm, like, not going to freak out about it like I did a year ago. Like, I'd have a panic attack. Like, she's going to run away, you know. And she's a purebred Bengal. But you know what? I decided, if she gets out, I'm just going to let her be out. She'll eventually come back. I mean, she's been an indoor cat for, you know, a year. She's a year old or something, 15 months or something. And You know, you could stress out over being outside, or you can just let her be outside, and eventually she'll come in. And that's what she did this morning. She went out when I let the dogs out, and I was like, okay, I'll just leave the door open. Eventually you'll come back in. And sure enough, 45 minutes later, she comes in looking for food, because I feed her in the morning. She doesn't get, yeah, it's no kidding, you can't fight the call of the wild. She gets a little bit of food to eat whenever she wants, but I don't like animals to just free feed all the time. So none of our animals free feed. They get fed when they get fed, and she gets fed in the morning. So she knew, you know, if she wanted her food, she would have to come in. Oh, and by the way, the NASCAR truck race is on right now, which I see right over the top of my monitor. But of course, I won't be watching it. It's being recorded. I'll watch it later. I've talked about this Obsidian software I'm using now to make show notes. I'm telling you guys, I... Robert, you're hilarious. This Obsidian software, man, I keep getting better and better with it. Like, I keep adding one or two more things, learning about it. And I just absolutely love this software. I don't know, you know, I'm sure there's software like this out there that maybe professionals use to write articles and to link documents and blah, blah, blah. I'm sure there is. This is free. And it is freaking fantastic, man. I love this software, and it's just making my life so much easier to do this, to do a podcast, which is cool. And to write. I mean, it's so easy. I mean, it's not like writing is hard, for crying out loud, but to link things together, to be able to link to a different document, maybe that you did months ago, and to be able to tag stuff in documents and have the document you're currently working on, you can just put in a keyword and it'll go search documents and tell you what documents use that keyword in. And then you find, you know, select the one you want from the list and pull it in and, you know, drop it in your notes, or just a link in your notes. And then you can click on it and just go to that particular document and just read from there, or edit, you know, whatever. It's just fantastic. I'm not kidding. You're probably going to hear me talk about this for a long time. You know, I don't know, but it is pretty fantastic. Let's see what else is going on the homestead here. Oh my gosh, the weather again, the cycle has been perfect. Like 2 days of sun and warm and 2 days of pouring rain, which is awesome for the garden. A lot of people are really tired of it already, but, you know, it's keeping Oregon green. We are, like, I would say deep into June. Not really, it's only the 11th. But, I mean, here, the 11th of June, and we almost have, in fact, I'll bet, I haven't checked the stats for today, but I bet we went past our normal amount of rainfall for June already. Like, we've already surpassed that, because we were really close before Thursday, or at Thursday we were at like 0.8 tenths of an inch, and we're expecting another half an inch to an inch over Friday and Saturday, and here we are. Yeah, it's going to be fantastic, you know, as long as it doesn't dry up completely. Which it will eventually, I'm sure, but as long as we keep a little, you know, get a ton of moisture in the ground now. Like I say, for the garden, it's awesome. For the grasses, it's awesome. For the forest, it's awesome. For the tourists, it probably sucks. And for people who really love sunshine, it probably sucks. But, oh well, that's the way it goes. I'm digging it, because I like Oregon to stay green and not burn up, because we have the worst freaking, you know, government choices made in this state when fires start. The fire that started, what, last year or the year before? The year before last, I think? I don't know. Anyway, it started on federal land, and our governor decided, Well, it's on federal land, so we'll let them deal with it, which, the federales didn't do a damn thing about it because they figure the state should take care of their own land, which, hello, I agree, the state should take care of their own land. But no, our stupid governor, even though she saw that we were going to have these hellacious winds out of the east, which is a dry wind, she just decided to let it play out. So we ended up burning up hundreds of thousands of acres that year. I can't remember if it was last year or year before. I think it was the year before, because last year I did go on a little hike, and we were thinking about going through some of the burn area, and we didn't. We instead went down the Wilson River, which was awesome. Uh-oh. I was like, oh, I heard something. You guys probably didn't hear it, but it was an air compressor. So, hey, one of the things I was thinking of when I was talking about grass, this came up. It was kind of interesting. It was a local, well, it was on my local news, but it wasn't a local news story or event. It was talking about people in, states where they're starting to restrict water accessibility. And I got to check something. Hold on. Hold the press right there. Yeah, so in states where people have water restrictions, like in California, they were saying, like they laid down the law, you can only water your lawn once a week. And, and then it's like, okay, now you can't water your lawn anymore at all. And people, some people are really crazy about their lawns looking nice. And of course, like a lot of homeowners, they buy their home, they landscape their, property, so it looks nice. I mean, that's part of owning a home, if that's what you're looking for. Me, for a long time, man, if I owned a concrete truck, I would have concreted every spot of grass I had, because I did not like grass. I don't know if it was I just didn't like mowing it, or it never looked great, because here in Oregon in the Willamette Valley, we have grass seed. We have a million different kinds of grass seed in this valley. And to actually grow a really nice lawn with just green grass in it is virtually impossible. And I will tell you that our lawn, we have one spot of lawn that I asked Rochelle 20 years ago. I said, you know what I'd love? I'd love to have one spot of lawn that is just beautiful green grass. And because my wife is like totally into landscaping and taking care of plants and stuff, she literally made this one beautiful patch of lawn. And it's not organic, because you cannot succeed with a beautiful green grass lawn in this valley, Willamette Valley and Yamhill Valley, all the little forked off valleys of the Willamette Valley. Because there's a bajillion different species of grass seed in this valley. So the minute you stop treating it, either with, a herbicide for broadleaves or whatever, and you don't fertilize it or whatever, and she does such an awesome job, it'll just turn into pasture. That's what it'll turn into, because there's that many types of successful grass seed in this valley. And like somebody who moved into a house down the hill, they say, hey, what do you guys do for grass? They're like, you're not going to have any problem growing grass. You're going to have a problem growing the right kind of grass, if you want a lawn, but you're not, just wait a few weeks. It'll be all seeded for you naturally. But anyway, so we have that one patch of lawn that is, we're not organic with it at all, let's say. Well, we are sort of, like, we don't use a ton of poison on it, but yeah, we do use some broadleaf killer, to make it a nice spot. And it's not huge. I mean, it's probably, what, 100? I bet you it's 100 feet by 70 feet. So it's a little kind of a rectangle. I'll show you sometime. I actually started using a GoPro. I think I mentioned this before. So I bought a GoPro and oh yeah, I did because I have videos up of GoProing to work. I'm gonna start doing some, some segments outside, and I'll talk about each part of our property, maybe do a little tour one piece at a time or something. And I'll show you this strip of garden that we have. That'd be kind of cool. Oh, but my point is, so in these states where people are being, oh, that's good. I know, that was cool. I really liked seeing those fawns. I wish I knew how to make the camera like zoom. I think you can't really make it zoom that much, so it's not that big a deal. But so in these states where people are being, having their water regulated so much, what they've decided to do, see, and I just see like the hypocrisy and stuff. I think it's one thing with me. It's just one of my things to kind of point out, like hypocrisy of doing one thing or another, or people saying one thing or another. But so some of these really nice neighborhoods are replacing their lawn, because now it's dead, dry grass, with AstroTurf, basically, artificial turf, right? Well, artificial turf is mostly made up of petroleum products. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, just imagine now. I mean, like, we already know after, years of having asphalt and concrete and buildings, put in for neighborhoods, we already know how that affects the environment in general, right? Now, we're going to replace grass with artificial turf. So now, you're not really going to have a healthy dirt anymore underneath that. You're going to kill all of that. You're not going to have this environment for, beneficial and non-beneficial insects, because you've just now taken the last bit of nature away. Not totally. I'm sure people are going to keep some shrubs and stuff, but it's just so strange to me. But I will tell you a funny story now that I'm kind of on this subject. So in the Bureau of Prisons, I don't know, the head honchos would come out once in a while, to I don't know, like to inspect their property or whatever. And so we were having one of those really bad summers where, the grass was just dead as hell, and no matter how much, federal government money you threw at it by pumping, tons of water on it, which they didn't. It was just dead. It was just dead, dead, dead grass, right? So what did the genius warden do in his infinite wisdom, because he wanted it to look nice? Went out and bought a ton of green paint. And I am not kidding about this. Went out and bought tons of green paint and painted the grass. Oh my God. Yeah, geniuses. But anyway, so if you run into these stories, you're gonna see that people are replacing their lawns with artificial turf. And I mean, literally, they're just going in and stripping off the whole top layer, the whole sod, roots and all, and then they're laying in this beautiful green AstroTurf. I mean, it's probably going to look really nice. And just imagine, probably some environmentalists will be like, "Oh, this is so great. You're not mowing your grass anymore with your gas-powered heathen mower, or electric or whatever." But it's totally petroleum products used to make this AstroTurf. But just imagine. So you could do like the sports fields, you could actually put your own emblems in there. That'd be kind of cool. Make your own design, put it on, incorporate it into your lawn or whatever. That'd be cool. Hang on. I could see that. I mean, hell, that maybe there's a whole, yeah, maybe there's a way to make money right there, man. You get into that designing, lawn motifs for people. It can't be that hard. Hell, they do it all the time. In playoff games, they change all those emblems on basketball courts, soccer fields, football fields, baseball fields. They change all of those things out, you know. I don't know. Maybe they paint them. Do they paint them? I don't know. But, well, I guess you could do that too. You could just paint your AstroTurf, you know, put a base layer on there. And then, start over whenever you want to change your emblem in the front. Just, you know, pretty soon you'll just have a big old block of paint instead of AstroTurf. God dang, man, life is funny. Oh, God. So yesterday I was thinking when I at work, I put the garbage cans out next to the road for, garbage pickup. And I saw all these cans, you know, up and down the road. And I was like, wonder what's going to happen when, you know, gas gets so expensive, they start telling us they're not going to pick up the garbage. I mean, it can happen. And, you know, we create a lot of garbage. I mean, we have there's 8 of us living here. Wait, is that right? Yeah, 8 of us living here. I mean, humans. And we create a lot of garbage. No, now we try and so our scraps go to the chickens, and if the chickens, if it can't go to the chickens, it goes in the compost pile. But you can't put everything in the compost pile. You know, you can put biological stuff in the compost pile, but it's got to be like you can't put meat in the compost pile. I guess some people do, but it's really, really bad for your compost pile. And you don't want to do that anyway because all the crap that can come from decaying meat. But, because we can burn up here, out here in the country, we burn stuff you can burn, but we don't burn plastic because, number one, it stinks, and number two, you're not supposed to burn plastic. So we don't do that. But, man, I'm telling you, if they quit picking up garbage, it's going to start getting pretty ugly. Everywhere. The price of gas, man. Well, we're going to be paying it. We're going to be paying a price one way or another. And it's just one of those things I was thinking of, like, man, you know what? I don't know what. Well, I do know what people in the city would do, because look at the times in the past 50 years when there's been, like, garbage strikes. You remember when somebody wouldn't take the garbage, and it was on these big barges out in New York. I don't know, the harbors around New York City and stuff. And they were just like traveling around to see who would take their garbage. And then the garbage started, you know, there were, you know, garbage strikes, and the garbage was just piling up in the streets. I mean, I don't know how New York ever recovered from that. Well, they probably didn't. But, like, could you just imagine, like, your city or your town? Like, I can't imagine Sheridan right now if they quit picking up garbage. I mean, we already have a problem. Not a horrible problem, but, I mean, there's some homeless encampments around, and, you know, the garbage piles up, and this city does a pretty good job of keeping up with it, but if they just quit picking up garbage, man, it doesn't take long before it starts. Number one, it'll start piling up, and number two, people in the city will start taking their garbage out of town and throwing it alongside the road or, you know, up here, you know, on the hill. There's a place where people like to dump stuff. Oh, I got to tell you another genius idea. Now, this probably, I mean, you know, no matter how much good intention you have, somebody's always going to abuse the, you know, whatever it is. So, Sheridan has a couple times a year, they put these giant dumpsters out in this one spot in town. And one is for yard debris, and one is for glass bottles. And anyway, some genius or group of geniuses goes, and I'm sure it's at night, I'm sure it's not during the day, So they go and take a few bottles out of the garbage can or whatever it is, garbage bin, and they just smash them right on Cherry Hill, which is the road that comes up to my house. And I'm not saying like they do one. It's like they do five giant like wine bottles, like 1 gallon wine bottles or whiskey bottles or whatever they are, and they just have been smashing them in the road. And then one of us has to go down there and take a broom out and sweep everything off the side of the road. This morning I was heading down the road, on the new bike, and I saw the mess just in time because it was around the corner and I had to slow way down. I mean, I have brand new tires. I doubt I would have got a puncture, but you got to be careful. And I mean, there's some pretty big chunks of glass there, so just so irritating. People, they don't care. I mean, it's not their car that they're going to drive over that. Anyway, let's see. Okay, I want to tell you this thing. We're about the halfway mark. I want to tell you this was the craziest thing, and I kind of wish I was doing a video. I'll do a video on this very thing because it'll be interesting. And I'll post it on BitChute, but I'm just going to put the raw footage on BitChute for now and let you have a look at it. So, and this is kind of funny because it really creeped me out. So I was outside of my work. I try and go outside like every chance I get between patients, even in the rain, snow, I don't care. I just like to get out, get some fresh air, get some sunshine if there is some. Walk a little bit, although now with my knee effed up, I'm not moving that fast, so I have to take it really easy. By the way, I'm gonna get back to the crazy worm thing in just a second, but I was trying to figure out, how when you get wounded, and I don't know if you guys do this, but I'm the kind of guy, I'm like, I'm not 100% sure I'm wounded, like it seems like I could function normally. So then you try and do like normal walking, and you immediately get kind of hit in the face with no, you can't do that. So I was trying to figure out what exactly does my knee feel like right now? Because I tore my meniscus, in case you didn't listen to the last couple shows. And this is what it feels like for anybody who hasn't torn a meniscus. It kind of feels like your lower leg and your upper leg are like one click off, like they're rotated one click out of place constantly. So like even when it's not killing you, it feels like it's not lined up right. Now, I mean, when you look at it, it looks fine. I'm just describing like what it looks or what it feels like. And yeah, when I try and ignore it and think, oh, I could just walk normal. Nope, you can't. Go ahead, try again. Take your best shot. Okay, so back to this crazy thing I saw. So I was outside. I was staring in the dirt, and something caught my eye, and it was something so tiny. Like minuscule. I thought it was a hair. Like, and I was thinking, why would there be one single hair right there on the ground? And it was moving a little bit, but it kind of, to me, I was kind of thinking, okay, maybe there's a little air moving next to the ground, and that thing is just kind of responding to the air moving. So I kind of get a little closer. And I'm kind of, trying to do the scientific mind thing, like, okay, is this thing moving under its own power, or is there some force that's acting on it to make it move? And I realize this thing is moving under its own power, and it's trying to do something like move to a different spot or attach to something else or just investigate the area that it's in. And so I get down a little closer and I'm really trying to look at it now and I'm thinking, oh my God, I don't know what that is. I have never seen anything like that before. I even was thinking, you know how sometimes like a seedling, like sometimes wheat or some kind of grass seed, when the seed first comes off, like within minutes, it starts kind of curling up. I was even thinking it might have been something like that. But the more I watched it, I was like, nope, that is some kind of bizarre worm. And I'm not kidding, it was so thin, it looked just like a hair. And so, so I went back in the clinic just to grab my phone because I was like, I got to get a picture of this or a video or something. Because nobody is going to believe that I'm seeing. So I went and took a picture. I went back in the clinic and I asked the girls, I go, hey, you guys ever seen anything like this before? And I show them and we blow it up, you know, on the phone, you know, so you can get a good look at it. It's clear. It's like transparent. Except for maybe one segment on one end and one segment on the other end. Pretty dang clear. But you could tell it had some organization to it, let's say. So two of them wanted to go out and see what it was because they thought it was a snake. I go, no, it's not a snake. I go, this thing is the size of a hair. And they're like, how did you find it? I go, I just happened to be looking, which is true. I just happened to be looking in the spot where this thing was. Okay, so it's creepy looking because I've never seen one before. So you know how that is? Like, I remember when I was in Georgia at Glencoe, Georgia. It's the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center. And I was on a payphone, okay, that kind of dates how long ago this was. I was on a payphone, I'm talking on a payphone, and the area I am standing is like a field, sort of, and there it's grassy, but there's a lot of sand, right? And I'm talking to whoever I'm talking to, and there's this clump of grass that starts spinning in the ground. I know you're thinking, what kind of drugs was I doing? This clump of grass was literally turning itself in the ground. Like literally spinning in the ground. I mean, it was a tuft of grass, right? It was like 10 blades of grass joined together at the root. And it's turning in the ground. And I'm like, what in the hell is that? So I just stand there for as long as I could stand there to figure out what the hell is making this grass turn. And it turned out, it's like a naked mole cricket or some weird thing like that. And so then, and when I saw it, I was like, that thing is creepy. I've never seen anything like that before. Okay, that's a lot like what this thing was. It was a bizarre creature that I hadn't seen in my 64 years of life. I've never seen in nature. And remember, my BA degree from college is in biology, you'd think I would have seen this before. Now, once I identified this creature, yes, I've heard of them before. Never seen one in Oregon. I didn't know we had them in Oregon, but we do. Okay, this is what this creature is called. But you got to understand, so I'm a little creeped out by this thing. And then we pull up some identifying applications, like to identify, you know, whatever, like, I don't know, Google probably has it, but this was an app that identifies insects. And we're like, okay, what is this? Just put the picture in. This is what this critter is called. It's called a parasitic mind control worm. A parasitic mind control worm. I'm freaking out. I'm like, yeah, don't touch it. Like, I'm thinking, I'm thinking this mind control worm does something if you touch it that you're going to be like, you know, you're going to become a zombie, right? Or something. So then reading on, yeah, it's also called a horsehair worm sometimes in some locales. It's called a horsehair worm. But this is what this critter does. And I'll do a little more research. So when I do the video stream or whatever you call it, podcast, I'll know more about it. But basically, this worm lays its eggs on crickets and grasshoppers. I guess their favored meal or favored host. And the eggs, when they turn into little tiny larvae, or maybe even as an egg, it shuts the critter down so it doesn't continue to carry on its life as normal. It just becomes an incubator. So it doesn't actually kill it right off the bat. It just makes it a zombie. So it quits doing whatever it, like crickets, you know, they want to rub their legs together and, you know, mate and eat grass or whatever. Nope. They're not doing that anymore. They just become a zombie. They just stand there and incubate these eggs until the eggs are ready to hatch and the eggs eat their way out of the body or God knows what. Anyway, it's pretty damn freaky. But I have, and this is kind of crazy. So the video I took, even though I had the GoPro at work, I actually grabbed my phone and took a video, and this video is pretty damn good. So, but it kind of reminds me, I don't know how many of you guys ever listen to Coast to Coast, but if you go to their website, coasttocoastam.com, if you go to their website, they always have some freaky something, you know, cryptozoology critter on, and there's always some kind of footage that you're just like, yeah, there's a completely normal explanation for this, or I'm not buying it, or it's Photoshopped or whatever. Like, you really, it's hard to believe their, you know, footage. And that's the way this is going to be. Like, when, except that when you see it, it's so crystal clear, you can see, like, there's no, it's not blurry. It's not, there's no question that you're seeing what you're seeing. I mean, it's pretty clear. Anyway, so I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. And I'm glad we just got a moment to tell this story because it was so crazy. What else is going on critter-wise around here? Oh, we lost two chickens last night. This really does suck, too, because they were out of the youngest batch. And we have no idea what got them. But something got in the coop. Okay, so the door that we use to go in the coop has a deadbolt on it that is weakly associated with the hole that it's supposed to go in. So sometimes it doesn't actually connect, and that door was open and two of our little birds were gone. Now, the sad thing is, I mean, they're not little, they're almost ready to join the rest of the flock in the coop. So it kind of sucks that we got them to this point and, you know, they're not going to continue because they're dead. What else? The bees are doing awesome. The bee guy, Jenny's dad, who's the bee guy, he actually added another box up there. So, now we must have five boxes. I know there's a correct name for them. I just call them bee boxes. I know some people call them hives, but bee people don't call them hives. And I'm not a bee people. I'm not a bee people. So I don't know what you call them, but it's a bee box. To me, it's a bee box. It's where they live, which, yeah, I would call that a hive, but I don't want to insult anybody or anything. What else? Oh, okay. Hey, I'm going to get to... What do we want to do first? I want to feel good. I'll share this with you. You know, I'm sure pretty much everybody who listens to me knows or probably suspected immediately when monkeypox came, you know, made news that you knew something dirty was going on, right? You just kind of had a feeling. So I've been keeping my eye out for evidence that monkeypox has been toyed with in a biological weapon sort of way. I'm close to the smoking gun. I'm sure somebody else has found it already. I found an article today that talks about how Chinese, of course, I didn't read it. I should tell you this. I haven't read the article. I skimmed a couple parts of it to make sure it was what I thought it was. But basically, a lab in China has used monkeypox in an experiment to see how much of it they could make recombine from just DNA parts, in other words. So they took, I'm not going to get into the details because I'm not 100% sure, but basically it's been modified, right? It's been used. They figured out a way to take parts of the monkeypox virus and recombine it into something else, like another virus, right? Oh, interesting. Gotta shift around here a minute. Okay, so, and that, I literally, I'm not kidding, I found that article. I'm going to put the article, let me see. Yeah, I'm going to post this. Okay, and please, it's just one of those articles, okay? Like, when I started reading it, I was like, ooh, I'm going to have to take some time and read this. Oh, this is from August 21, accepted 23 February 22, published 28 February 22. Interesting, eh? All right, I'm going to post it in the chat room. You guys can go and look at it, see for yourself. There's another article that kind of goes along with it that I'll find eventually. I can't remember where the reference is for it, but I'll find it. I will find it. I mean, I don't think this surprises anybody anymore. I just want to be, this is what I'm always trying to be, I guess. I want to be the anti-truth, I guess, at this point. I want to be the fake news. That's what I want to be. If I can find the original source material and get it out so maybe somebody else picks it up and spreads that word, you know, to verify for ourselves, well, yeah, we knew this was happening. Well, here, you can actually start putting the pieces together and, you know, verify that labs are doing this. You know, labs are screwing with viruses. You know, it's kind of a scary time, I think. That's what it is. We're kind of in this place now where, you know, the cat's out of the bag. It's kind of like creating that, the black hole. What's that collider called? The Hadron Collider. So the whole idea is they want to create a black hole. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, idiots, if you know the black hole sucks in every single piece of matter, like, how are you going to keep it from sucking matter in? I don't know the answer to that question. I'm literally saying, how do you stop, you know, the black hole that you create at CERN from sucking all, which means basically the Earth would get sucked into the black hole first because we're creating the black hole, right? What a quirk. Yep, probably. Um, But that's where I think we are with the virus now and virus manipulation, where if the cat's out of the bag, we're not going back. It's just going to be one biological weapon used on the population of Earth after another, which is really weird because I think in the last the last sh 1 hour show I did on Wednesday, I think I was talking about how there was a study done about depopulation and how we're already failing to keep our population healthy, that we're already in a state of decline. So all these people who want to get rid of more humans, I mean, hell, they're kind of wasting their time because we're already there. We're already only at 1.6 children per female in the United States, and you got to be at 2.1 to keep the population growing and healthy. So it's a done deal. I mean, we're eventually going to disappear, but which I'm sure would be good. Yeah, inorganic nano weapons. Exactly. Thank you, Rob Works, for that. What was I going to say? I wanted to say something along with that whole depopulation thing. It doesn't matter. I'll get to it eventually. Okay. Oh, I actually had the link right down there. All right, I want to talk about this for a minute. I've kind of hinted at this a little bit in the last couple shows, and I finally, I think, put this idea together. So anybody who, you know, if you're aware of anything going on in on the mainstream media, you know, the current dog and pony show, the current circus is to have these January 6th hearings during prime time. So I started thinking about it. Now, I've been saying for what, maybe a month, that what I think is going to happen is I think what's happening with the current administration is they are literally dissing everybody and making life as hard as possible because they know that they're never going to relinquish power. And this is kind of my own op-ed on why I believe that's true. This is the short little piece I wrote, so let me kind of read through it. Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are flexing their muscle, and you may not even sense it. They are showing the citizens of the United States and the world how much power they wield. The big tech social media platforms have not changed anything significant, and I'm sure they are planning to interfere with the coming election. I mean, they are homed mostly in California, Pelosi's state. The mainstream media has been usurped by Pelosi and friends to carry on the charade of a circus over several days during prime time. They don't need your votes. They don't need you. The admin has done everything possible to make every American's life worse and worse by the weeks that pass. Do you think they haven't seen the proof that the last election was stolen? Of course they have. I mean, these people, they're aware of everything that the rest of us are aware of. Like, so I'm sure that they've seen 2,000 mules, or they've heard of 2,000 mules, or somebody has told them what is in 2,000 mules. I'm sure that they're aware of all of the things that Mike Lindell brought to the table after the election. That dude was pissed, and he went and hired forensic, you know, IT people who were watching the elections, and he provided evidence. They don't care. There's a reason why they don't care. There's a reason why they're completely ignoring any facts surrounding any of the stuff that half of the people in this country are concerned about. Because they don't need to care, obviously. So, you know, we're kind of getting constantly bombarded with this idea that there's going to be a landslide victory for the other side this midterm election. I'm saying no, it's not happening. Because you couldn't possibly continue to to do the things that you're doing to the citizens of the United States right now and expect to win a fair election. I mean, the Democrats have got to know how pissed off and disappointed, let down, even their own constituents are. Exactly. Joe Biden says he doesn't need voters to get elected. Exactly my point. They keep blaming anyone else except themselves for inflation, high gas prices, low baby formula supply, etc. Do you think they are not aware of the damage the jab does to children? Do you think they are not aware of how fast the drop-off is in the efficacy of the jab in children? Do you think they are not aware that children are not in danger of dying from the jab? Yet they are still pushing that as if civilization depends on it. And this blows me away. These people are aware of every single one of these facts. They're not idiots. They know what's going on. They know all of this stuff. They know that half the country believes the election was stolen. They don't care. What has changed? Mainstream media is in their pocket. We're basically seeing, you know, communist streaming of, you know, their agenda during prime time if you are watching, you know, their circus prime time. It looks like hardly anybody is. Probably the people are watching are the people who are already, you know, convinced that that's what happened. You know, the thing is, yeah, they have to keep the insurrection dream alive. They know some of themselves would go to prison if the conservatives or Republicans take the House and the Senate. This is not going to happen. They've already ensured it. Mainstream media, the social media platforms, you know, the tech companies. What has changed? Nothing. Right. If you accept the fact that they want us all dead, it all makes perfect sense. That's exactly true. But my point is, even though I don't care what political affiliation you are, and you say that the other side is complete idiots, they're not. You may think they are the worst human beings in the world, and they are. Both sides, or all three sides, or all five sides. I don't know how many there are. But at least the two major parties. They're all evil bastards. None of them have freedom at the top of their list of things that people in the United States want. And they certainly don't try and make that happen. You know, they pass, like I've said, tens of thousands of regulations per year. It's ridiculous. But this administration and this party, they have nothing to fear. I mean, they obviously don't fear high gas prices. They obviously don't care that families are giving up food because they have to put fuel in their tanks. They don't care. They don't care, so they bring in a plane load of formula for a country of 311 million, 320 million people. They bring in a plane load of formula. That's like open up the strategic oil reserve. Here you go. Here we have a million barrels of oil for you. Yeah, that was gone in a couple minutes. Yeah. I'm telling you, man, I'm convinced. I'm not buying this whole landslide for the other side business. I really, truly believe there's something going on. And this is what's going to happen. This is what I believe is going to happen. The election's going to happen, and half of the country is going to be kind of sitting with their jaws, like, hitting the floor. Like, how did that happen? Like, how could anybody possibly vote for these people again? It's because nobody did. And then they're just going to parade it out and go, look, You know, the people have spoken. This is what our country wants, and this is the way it's going to be. You know, print more money. You know, I actually saw a commercial today that I hadn't seen before. Okay, so when I'm at work and I'm watching videos, I don't log in to anything. At home, I log in because I want to avoid commercials, and I do want a certain amount of suggestions for other stuff to look at. So at work, I don't, because number one, I don't want my work seeing what I search for, you know, my porn sites, of course. I'm kidding. I don't want my work seeing, you know, my search history for whatever reason. They have no business in my search history. That's all. So I use their stupid browser. I use anonymous, you know, no login on YouTube or BitChute or Rumble or whatever. And the commercials they run a commercial on there. One of the most popular commercials is solar panels. If you live in one of these, I don't know, five states, you can get solar panels for free. Now, I've seen that for months. Oh, okay. I will, Rob Works. If you post one, that'd be awesome. Or I'll just go find it on one of the, it's probably on one of the sites you sent me before. What was I saying? Oh, the solar panels. Wow, we're getting close to being out of time. That's okay. I thought it was going to be a short show. It is a perfect show, time-wise. So the solar panel commercial they still have this one commercial that says, if you live in one of these five states, the government will, you know, pay for your solar panels and pay so much toward installation. Well, all of a sudden today, you know, after Biden went and purchased all these solar panels from China or whatever he did, so all of a sudden today, this whole new commercial comes up and it said, you know, only, you know, days ago, the federal government has approved solar panels. They're basically pay you to put solar panels on your home. And, you know, here we are again, like, you know, being fed this information. Obviously, you know, mainstream media and the tech companies, social media companies are all on board pushing this agenda. And off we go. Oh, man. And then God dang it, I wish I would have got this story. I'm just gonna go over this briefly because we only have a minute or two. But this story, and how about if I put the link in? I'll do that for you. Energy transition to wind and solar is more expensive and environmentally non-viable. This is a study done. It says, however, a recent study found that if all costs are considered, wind and solar are actually more expensive to produce electricity. And such a transition would be environmentally non-viable. The authors categorized 10 cost factors, including the cost of building, fuel, operating, transportation, storage, backup, emissions, recycling, room or space, and three other metrics: material input per unit of service, equipment lifetime, and energy return on investment. And I'll pop that in the chat. Anyway, and it's kind of what I've been saying for a long time. You know, we just can't. Thank you, Java and Roberts. That's awesome. We don't have the resources to make this whole solar and wind power thing actually work. It's not going to work. It's a complete failure. A lot like everything else that the mainstream, this administration is doing. I mean, they fail at everything, but I think election time, they're not going to fail. It's going to be a resounding success, just like it was last time. And this time it's going to be totally in your face. Like, yeah, we did that. What are you going to do about it? And what are you going to do about it? There's really not a... Oh, it's time to go. Hey, thanks you guys for hanging out. I will see you on Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern. Thanks. Thank you for listening to the Redneck Dentist Podcast. Please show your support for the podcast. This podcast is not on the biggest platforms, but it is on the best free speech platforms. Until next time, remember, all bleeding eventually stops.